All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Saturday, November 16th of 2024 here, and looking ahead, we have a 10-game NHL main slate later this evening. We have a 4-game NBA main slate. We have a 13-fight MMA card with the John Jones fight tonight, so that'll be pretty fun. So and then we have football over on Sunday. So plenty of DFS action coming at you over the weekend here. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel and our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there was a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and we do this show on Saturdays here at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days and get your questions answered. But with that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up here. We did have one question to get us started today, so we'll probably start there, possibly jump into a lineup demo from there and just kind of see where we go. So first question, if I use projection sources that differ from SaberSim, how does that impact my post-contest sim ROI? I'm not entirely sure how post-contest sims work, but my assumption is it's using the actual field lineups and simming your lineups against those a bunch of times. But if my projections are different than SaberSim's, my guess is SaberSim will like my lineups less in the post-contest sim. Okay, good question. So let's just talk about the way this works. So there's two sims, right? There's the pre-contest sim. The field lineups are our best guess of what lineups and at what frequency the field is going to play players in the contest. Those come from what we call an ownership build, which we've done a bunch of back testing on contest to figure those things out. It's why we have 13 different buckets of ownership, because there are so many differences and nuances between stakes, between field size, etc. here. So that's the biggest thing there is the pre-contest sim are our estimates, right? And then we have a capped number of lineups in the pre-contest sim, right? We have 20,000 lineups. So if your contest is bigger than 20,000 lineups, we are going to sim the contest as if it only has 20,000 lineups, right? So if your contest has 100,000 lineups, we're applying the payout structure of the contest to a 20,000 man field, okay? Now, the way the post-contest sim works is we are using all of the lineups. We are using the exact lineups that get played. And then we are simulating your lineups on a portfolio level against, or we're running the contest out and then summarizing how you as a user did across all of your entries in the contest. Now, as far as projections go, in the pre-contest sim, we take into account your custom projections. So when you upload custom projections, you know, you increase Luka from 58 to 63, you increase Wemby from 53 to 58. That gets accounted for in the pre-contest sim. Basically, when we generate the player outcomes, we add your increase, and then that affects our fantasy points, which affects the standings, which affects the payouts, right? So that gets taken into account in the pre-contest sim. Now, in the post-contest sim, we are not taking into account your custom projections. We are only using the SaberSim baseline projections. So I think that it is important to understand that, hey, if I am using custom projections, then I should take what's most likely happening is I am sacrificing some post-contest sim ROI for my changes. But if you think your changes are good, if you're like, hey, I know these changes are adding value to my process, then I would just continue to use them and take a little bit lower sim ROI, right? And you'll see this like with some of our competitors. You know, there are sharp DFS players across the industry. I'll see some of their names popping up, and I know they're using their own tools. They're not using our tools. And they even they still grade out, you know, fairly well, like in the contest sim, right? So you know that, hey, they're coming with a different projection set and their lineups are still grading out good. These must be strong lineups, right? So I say that to say the contest sim isn't so biased that you have to use the SaberSim baseline projections to grade out well. You can definitely adjust projections and still have good post-contest sim ROIs. So the contest sim isn't that fragile. So don't worry about that point of view. All right. Good question there. I did see the stream froze once. Hopefully it calms down here. It seems pretty good the last few minutes here. But that was our first question to get us started today. So aside from that, let's do a build demo here. So one thing I would do, right, I got to make my two adjustments, two projections here. So I'm going to come in, make a couple adjustments. You know, I've had some people reach out and be like, hey, you know, how do you feel about like curating player pools and things like that? I think it's like totally fine. You know, if you want to just set something to avoid some of these players on like a short slate who may not even get in the game, I think that's like totally fine. So if you want to come in here and just set a filter, you know, something that says like, hey, show lineups with my projection greater than 10 or something like that, I think that's fine, right? You're going to get rid of all these guys who you probably don't want to play anyways, who probably only get in the game in like blowouts or sparingly or in the event of like an injury, right? Kind of not optimizing for that scenario. So plenty of good options on a 4-game slate. So I think it's fine to do something like that. And that kind of goes in line like with the ownership projections too, right? Like some of these guys lower, barely getting any ownership. So I don't think you're losing a lot by getting rid of them. And then all these other guys above 10, actually, you know, 4%, 5%, 11%, right? So some of these guys getting more ownership. So that's a fine adjustment there. And then from there, I'd kick off lineups, right? So I'm just going to do 500 for the demo. Going to jump over to the contest tab and going to set up a sim so we can use. So let's do the $1.20 max. Should be a good contest. Going to just right click it, set up a manual one for now. Jump back to my build. And I'm going to do a hard refresh. Because it looks like my pool was built. I see 500 lineups. Okay, that got our player table back. So that's always a good little thing to do. Seeing something weird, just do a hard refresh. Control-Shift-R/Command-Shift-R if you're on Mac. But our lineups are built here. So I'm going to click Run Contest Sim. I'm going to move some columns around here. I just want to see my exposure pool leverage mostly. So seeing everything I want to see, which is great. All right, Contest Sim is run. Automatically switches to ROI. If you have an entries file loaded up, you don't have to do anything because it's going to use target. I have this manual one, so I'm just going to go and switch it to the manual sim. So a couple of things I like to do here, right? I like to set up two aggregate metrics, one for projection. If you're on starter, just use the projection. If you're on ultimate, use projection and ROI. Click save. So I got these two metrics, right? So now I want to start adjusting my min uniques and noting my leverages and my exposures, trying to find values that I'm comfortable with, and while I'm not sacrificing too much from the projection and ROI metrics, right? So 261.9 projection, 78% ROI, going to start to increase this. So go down 0.7 projection, only like 2% ROI, seems fine. Go down a little more projection, but we're at about like a 10% ROI decrease. And then now I just be like looking at my sets of lineups and like, hey, how do I feel about these? Right. So the players that we're getting high exposure to and high leverage, you know, they are fairly high owned, right? 30%, 34%, 29%, right? So we're getting 2 to 3x the field on some of these guys, which is okay with me personally. And it's at this point, right? It's more about just like, hey, are you liking what you're seeing? If you're not liking, right, you can keep going with the min uniques. If you're comfortable with this, great, stay there. If you are even okay with a little more leverage on some plays, right? Like two min uniques didn't seem to change all that much here. And we preserve like another 2 points or 1.5 points of projection here to do that, going from two uniques to three uniques. So these are like the minor decisions you have to make. I would personally be okay with two because our highest exposed player was 85%. And at two uniques, it's two players at 85%, and the leverages look fine to me. So this is where I would end up. I think it's fine to end up at three. I think it's fine to end up at four, right? If you want to go even a little further, you don't like, you know, these 80% exposures and you rather have these 60% exposures, right? Where you're like closer to 2x the field max. That's okay, right? So this is all a matter of personal risk tolerance, being comfortable with the lineups that you're submitting. These lineups are still positive ROI, and they're still a good set of lineups, right? So anywhere in that like 2 to 4 range is totally cool with me. But these are the big things I would be doing. And then obviously I would want to just make sure I'm around or you know, paying attention to news for these like 5:30 games, for the 7 o'clock game. These are all Pacific Standard Time. Like, hey, is Kyrie back today? I'm not like 100% sure. Looks like he's back in. Great. PJ Washington questionable, right? That's kind of a big deal. That has a big effect on guys like Lively, Gaffer, Najee Marshall, you know, possibly even Quentin Grimes, right? Like, what does their starting lineup look like with Washington back? So that's important. And then what's going on with Utah? Mark Cannon questionable. That's very, very important for their team. Sabonis questionable. DeRozan out yesterday, questionable today, right? Does he play? So this is the news you want to be around for, right? And I was talking to somebody, it's like, hey, even if you don't have these players in your lineup, right? You still want to late swap when they get ruled out, because what happens when, you know, Mark Cannon is ruled out, right? Well, like, hey, you know, that's 32 minutes and a bunch of usage that has to go somewhere. And it's going to go to guys probably like, Sexton, Clarkson, George, Filipowski, right? Like these other, you know, guards on the team. And now their value probably goes up from where they're at, you know, 4.88 to 5 to 6, right? And so you want to get to more of those players in that instance. So I feel like that's something a lot of people who play NBA know, but still important to cover from time to time because those questions do in fact still come up. But that is about it for our build demo there. So let me check Office Hours channel one more time, see if any additional questions have rolled in. And looks like we had a comment from Henry in regards to the build review. He said, thanks for the lineup review. I added the request before I knew it was top sim ROI results. Just haven't matched my post sim ROI. So hopefully it is just matter of time. One call out on that heavily duped lineup. It had a pre-locked sim ROI of 189% when I filled. Owned some was 12th in the pool, but had zero dupes pre-lock. Of course, 187 actual. I've been assuming that sim ROI would eliminate the need to filter out high owned lineups. Yeah, that lineup was like just such an outlier. When we do those post build reviews, right? You find situations where you can help the builder help you, right? And it seemed like, you know, filtering out that like top 5% high sum owned lineups was like a decent way of actually helping yourself going forward, possibly, right? You know, you could look back at like past slates and just be like, hey, you know, this happened one time in the last 10 days and I haven't accounted for it any other time and it has never happened, right? And then you just kind of keep moving forward, keeping your eye on it to see if it comes up again. So that's one of those situations where it's like, hey, no adjustment needed. Just kind of need to monitor this situation and see if it continues to happen or not. So that's like another way of thinking about it. But that's what I would be considering there. So appreciate the thoughts there for sure. And oh, you know, one other thing Henry mentioned, like, hey, you know, sim ROIs just haven't matched the results. You know, I'm down right now, like on the NBA season. And I was like checking some stuff out today and my top 1% ROI in NBA contest was like 2.1%. Right. So I'm putting a ton of lineups in the top 1% and I just haven't, you know, gotten to, be in the green yet. So I'm hopeful for the season. You know, I think that my sim ROIs and, you know, my top 1% rate is like pretty, convincing that like I'm doing the right things and I just need to keep grinding it out, playing the best contests, you know, playing lots of slates, jamming low stakes and and hoping Varian swings my way there, right? So that's the way I'm thinking about it. That's the way I try to think about it, is not be too results oriented, but just, you know, trust the sim ROIs, trust the top 1% equity, and just keep chugging along, exercising good contest selection and bankroll management. So that's what I would definitely recommend for you as well. All right. Next question. What does a basic MMA 20 max build look like for you? Good question. So let's jump over to MMA. So I don't play a ton of MMA, just so you guys know. But if I were building lineups for today's 13 fight card, this is what I'd be doing. So jumping in here, I got to make two adjustments to projections, super minor adjustments here. You know, I like to lower minimum salary, really just because I think that, you know, it's okay to play lower salary lineups in a sport that is duplication heavy, such as MMA, right? You see that this default rule is on by automatically don't use opposing fighters in the same lineup. That's totally cool with me. So two small adjustments to projections, opening up my salary band, still leaving a floor, but okay. I'm okay with, you know, a 46K salary lineup, a 45K salary lineup, right? Those things happen in the Sims. And honestly, they're probably more likely to be unique, right? So in a dupe heavy sport like MMA, I'm totally cool opening up salary band there. So that's the first thing I do. Now, while those lineups run, going to go create a contest sim. So say I'm playing, they have a $1 20 max here as well. So that's perfect. All right. Going to jump back to my build. Lineups are finished. I'm going to kick this off. So two things here. One, if you're on the starter plan, then what I would recommend doing is setting up a aggregate rule that says my own geo mean no more than X. And the way you would solve for X would be to see how many entries are in your contest, right? So here in this $1 20 max, 29,726 entries. And then you kind of got to pick a dollar amount that like you're comfortable with for first place. I always recommend being conservative on this, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to filter out some of the highest duplicated lineups or avoid high duplicated lineups. But you don't want to be super aggressive. It's like, yeah, everybody wants to play a unique lineup, get all the first place prize. But that's not really what this step is trying to do. You're just trying to avoid some of the highest owned lineups possible, right? So I typically recommend doing like 20 or 30 dupes as just like a fine baseline. So if I don't want to play lineups duplicated more than 20 times, what I do is I do 20, which is the dupes I'm shooting for, divided by the number of entries in the contest, which we said was 29,726. Take that to the power of 1 divided by the number of players in the lineup, which is 6. Click equals. So 29.6 is our geo mean number, right? So then if I was on starter, what I would do is I would come into the rules and I would set that up before. So I would say, hey, my own geometric mean no more than 29.6, which will make sure every lineup that gets built is underneath that threshold. Now, if you are on ultimate, you could do this a couple different ways, right? So you can set up a custom metric that I've named geomean here that shows my own geomean value for each lineup, and it will show you the value here, right? So this lineup would be good, right? This 29.47 would be fine. But this 32.57, this one would get filtered out. So if I have that metric, I come in here and then I say, show me lineups with geo mean less than 29.6. Then that takes about 10% of my lineups and puts them in the trash, right? I think that's fine. So this way works fine if you have, you know, one contest, right? But what if you're building multiple contests? What if you have a lot of contests? That logic kind of breaks down a little bit. So something I've moved towards is like for duplication sports, just filtering out 10 to 20% of my lineups in the pool. So like here, you know, this kind of worked out fine. I got 54 lineups in the trash. I had 500. That's about 10%. Basically, I would just skip the formula part and just go straight to the filter and start filtering out till I got to like 10 to 20% and then just leave it, right? So that's something I've been doing when I have to build a lot of lineups for multiple contests, and I just want to have that geo mean effect across the board. Now, it's not super hyper contest specific. You know, I'm definitely cutting some corners there, but it does save me time, and I've generally okay with it, and my post-contest sims have been fine as a result of it. So that's just something I've been rolling with. But from there, right, I have my ROI, I have my geo mean, a couple aggregate metrics I want to look at, right? Average projection. I like to look at average salary for this one. Average ROI still. Click save. Make sure I'm sorting correctly. All right. So 424 average projection, 49.8 average salary, kind of high, 28% ROI. So this is a good point to do any type of manual intervention if you want, right? If you have opinions, if you want to set some minimax exposures, do some risk management, right? You could still use Minuniques at this point, right? I'm going to up Minuniques from 1 to 2. ROI only moved about 1%. Projection did move about 4% or 4 points, but the ROI, you know, makes me feel comfortable with the change. Minuniques of 3, drop a little bit more projection. Interesting, our average salary actually went up there. ROI down about 7%. So honestly, any one of these three is fine. If you want to, if you look at your lineups and you're good with one unique, cool. If you want to bump it to 2, cool. If you want to bump it to 3, cool. Right. Like, you know, there's not a right number and any one of these is viable. So, I would, you know, figure out which one speaks to you the most. And from there, I'd be ready to rock and roll, right? I'm going to come in here, click save, save my lineups, and I'd be good to go. But those are some of the basic changes I'm making for a MMA build for today. All right. Good stuff. We did 2 demos here, 1 for NBA, 1 for MMA, answered some questions here. So appreciate everybody tuning in. I will be back here on Monday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.